Good evening. Whether you're joining us from Harton, from Cleedon Park, or from further afield, you are most welcome at our service this evening. You know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich.
Bring you good news of great joy.
A Saviour has been born.
Unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
He is Christ the Lord.
We worship and adore him.
The Word was made flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to his people on earth.
Hear the words of the angel to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Therefore, let us seek the forgiveness of God through Jesus, the Saviour of the world. God our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Eternal Lord, our beginning and our end, bring us with the whole creation to your glory, hidden through past ages and made known in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel!" Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel!" And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." Then I saw between the throne and the 4 living creatures, and among the elders, a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of the God sent out unto all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God's saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. John. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked.
Come and see, said Philip.
When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.
How do you know me? Nathanael asked.
Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.
Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel.
Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.
He then added, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
I got a book for my birthday last week. How the story ended isn't really relevant, but the main character and his friend were involved in a group which was trying to find out about and grow more into their micro-power. And in a strange kind of way, this was an echo for the stories we hear in our readings today. The call of God on our lives is certainly not a micro-power in a sci-fi sense. But then again, perhaps it is more so than we think. Listening for and understanding what we have and what we can do. To those who believe in him, he has given the power to be children of God. We heard those words from John chapter 1 a few weeks ago. Perhaps we do have a micro power, and we did ought to be about finding out more about it and growing more into it. Today, we've heard four particular examples of call in our readings. But first, let's just cast our minds back to last week, when we heard about Jesus' baptism. This was no surreptitious happening. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, the heavens were torn apart to reveal the Spirit descending on him. This was a very public statement and identification of Jesus. But God does not just work on a macro scale like this. He works on the micro scale too, in individual lives. God is for everyone, at every age, in every place, with every certainty and every doubt. Our prayer last week was, Heavenly Father, at the Jordan you reveal Jesus as your Son. May we recognize him as our Lord and know ourselves to be your beloved children. Epiphany is the season where the church focuses on the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Last week, the overt and explicit. Next week, we'll hear of Jesus turning water into wine, revealing his power in his first miracle. This week, it is revelation to individuals with differing responses. Throughout, that prayer echoes, calling us too to offer our lives that God's glory might be revealed through us. The call on four lives, Samuel, Philip, Nathanael. Four lives, Eli, Samuel, Philip, Nathanael. Philip. Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So had he already heard about Jesus from them? Or did he just recognize him? Was there an exchange of conversation between Jesus and Philip before Philip went to Nathanael? Or was Philip just one of those people that Jesus called and he dropped everything and followed him? We don't hear that he doubted. Indeed, not only does it appear as we have it that he did not, he also did not want to keep this opportunity to himself. Philip did not seem to need to be asked to invite or encouraged or instructed to invite. He did that all on his own. He went to Nathanael and invited him to join them, invited him to come and meet Jesus for himself. Those who believe should not want to keep this amazing thing, amazing person, amazing relationship, amazing opportunity to themselves. How easy is it to say, come and see? Nathanael, the one we know for his cynicism. When he asks Philip, "But how can anything good come from Nazareth?" He does this because he knows the scripture too, and he does not expect the Messiah to appear from a random little village. But then Jesus speaks to him, and Nathanael realizes that he is known by Jesus, seen by Jesus, called by him. A bit like Thomas will later say, "My Lord and my God," Nathanael's response is instant. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." His recognition is genuine, even if it were hesitant before meeting Jesus, and Jesus promises him that his trust will see even more. Perhaps, like Thomas, Nathanael's initial hesitation is not what he should be remembered for, rather the full commitment he makes in his recognition. It is far from impossible, especially in a strange and hurting world, to be uncertain or cynical or doubtful. Whenever we hesitate, may we hear again that simplest of invitations, "Come and see. From that acorn, great things can grow." Samuel, the longed-for child that Hannah prayed so hard for, and whom she gave back to the Lord in return. He was already a gift in both directions, but at this point had not been activated, as my sci-fi book would have said. He did not yet know the Lord. He was living in the temple with Eli and serving there with him, but now God calls him directly. Hear God call him not just once, but several times. Jesus sent out disciples with instructions that if a household did not welcome them, to shake the dust off their feet and move on. But here we hear God's gentle persistence until the request is understood. As with Nathanael, a promise is imparted to him when he understands, recognizes, and listens. Not unlike the invitation of Philip to Nathanael, "Come and see," is Eli's preparation for Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Perhaps, rather than "Lord, hear our prayer," we should more often pray, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." How often does God call that we do not recognize as him? How often does he call young people more than grown-ups expect or understand at first? Where might God be calling us to hear him in unexpected places or people? Where and when should we feel called by or to an unusual source, and more than we do, stop and pray at that point, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then there is Eli. Eli is also called in our reading. We hear that his eyesight had grown dim, that the word of the Lord was rare, visions were not widespread. But the lamp of God has not yet gone out. Eli was tired and uncertain, his sight growing dim, perhaps reflecting how little glory he was managing to shine himself in that moment. He too is called by God. His role is to nurture Samuel in the temple, and he needs a nudge. It is those same three attempts before Eli, never mind Samuel, realizes that it is God calling Samuel, and encourages Samuel to recognize the Lord and invite him into relationship with him. He sees that it truly is the Lord when Samuel repeats his vision in the morning, and he is reminded of his role in equipping Samuel to be the prophet God is calling him to be. In this, we are reminded that even in an environment which seems parched of God, his word can reach us still, sometimes through unexpected channels, even or including children. That it can revive and renew tired faiths, for we all have times when the light seems to grow dim. So take heart. But also, perhaps, we need to remember that if we hear God calling others, we might need to nudge too. This season of Epiphany, the revelation of God shows us that God is really for everyone, at every age, in every place, with every certainty and with every doubt. Kings, shepherds, children, old men, those who are keen, those who are tired, those who are hesitant. God calls, and hopefully whenever he does, we recognize his voice, recognize Jesus as our Lord. And to those who believe in him, he has given the power to be children of God. That power is no micro power, but it is one we should definitely hone. Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you, and you in me. Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? I don't think we've heard that phrase for a while, so perhaps we can have it again, to the benefit of others, the benefit of all, and to the glory of God. This Epiphany, may his call on you and your lives be revealed ever more brightly, and may you know how to use your power as children of God to reshape this world, renew lives, and make known God's glory. Amen.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high, and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We promise afresh to follow God's call. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. Amen. We pray for the world, the church, and God's people, for those in need and sorrow.
Let us pray to the Father, who knows us better than we know ourselves and understands our hopes and fears. Father, we ask that you pour your love onto a hurting world and guide those in power to create a new world where fear, injustice, and violence are replaced by peace, equality, and above all, love. We pray for the grace and wisdom to care for this planet we have been given as our home, to use its resources wisely and protect and nurture all living creatures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Christians around the world. Wherever we are, we know we are called to be the body of Christ. Please make us worthy of that calling, fervent in our prayer and worship, and loving and honest in our lives, so everyone we meet can see your power through our actions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the homes in our community, where joys and hopes, struggles and sorrows are already known to you. During this pandemic, we ask that you wrap your arms around our homes and give us the resilience we need to deal with the loneliness, anxiety, and daily problems that lockdown brings. We are so grateful for those who give up their time to help in food banks, make deliveries, or ensure that family, friends, and neighbours have all they need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we lift up all of those who are weighed down with despair, who are suffering physically or mentally. We ask that you send your healing power, comfort their pain, calm their fears, and surround them with your peace. We dedicate our medical and caring staff to you. Keep them safe and give them the strength and endurance they need to continue the amazing work they undertake each day. We ask that they may be aware of our pride and gratitude for all they do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for everlasting peace in your arms for those who have come to the end of their life on earth. We ask that you comfort all who grieve, that you make your presence known in the midst of their tears. In particular, we bring before you at this time those whose years mind fall, William Langley and Edith Atkinson, and those who have died this week, Muriel Christie, Bob Malcolm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we know we are not perfect. We have at times lost our patience, forgotten our prayers, or questioned our faith. But despite these feelings, we thank you for loving us unconditionally and giving us each and every day to start over. We pray that you will strengthen what is weak in us, enlighten what is dark in us, and heal what is broken in us, and that you will give us your peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We conclude with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Word was made flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory.
Let us bless the living God. He was born of the Virgin Mary.
Revealed in his glory.
Worshipped by the angels.
Proclaimed among the nations.
Believed in throughout the world.
Exalted to the highest heavens.
To a troubled world.
Peace from Christ.
To a searching world.
Love from Christ.
To a waiting world.
Hope from Christ.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.